بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 15th of January in the year 2018 alhamdulillah we've completed the fifth week the 35th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the majestic sword of almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu anhu and I've reached the stage where I've now mentioned that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu has now given the mandate to Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu to deal with the greatest threat of all, Musaylimah al-Qadhab. And he would have under his command the core of Sayyidina Shurahbil radiyallahu anhu, who was already there. Another group of Muhajirun and Ansar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was also being assembled in Al-Madinah. And these two will be sent to Al-Buta shortly to join the forces of Khalid radiyallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu thereupon wrote to Sayyidina Shurahbil radiyallahu anhu in Tabri in his Tariq, volume 2, page 522. You will be under Khalid's command as he joins you. When the problem of Yamama has been solved, you will then proceed with your men to join Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu and operate against the Qaza'. So here Abu Bakr is now preparing Shurahbil radiyallahu anhu, who is a Badr. He goes, you will be under the command of Khalid, and when the problem is sorted, you will then join Amr ibn al-As with regards to his mandate. This was the very tribe which Sayyidina Osama radiyallahu anhu had punished but not subdued near the Syrian frontier. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu thus awaited at Al-Buta until the arrival of the Muhajirun and the Ansar radiyallahu ta'ala an from Al-Madinah. And upon their arrival, he thereupon marched to Yamama to join Sayyidina Shurahbil's forces radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu thus established his force of 13,000 men at Aqraba. Musaylimah al-Qadhab was also waiting there with an army of 40,000 warriors, also eager for combat. So note again, the odds are 3-1 against the Muslims. A few days before, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu, he had captured a raiding party of Musaylimah, amongst whom, to his pleasant surprise, was Muja'a ibn Marara, i.e. one of the right-hand men of Musaylimah, who was mentioned would save his tribe from destruction. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereupon questioned them about their faith. Without exception, they remained unrepentant, i.e. they followed Musaylimah. Some sought to meet Khalid halfway by suggesting, let there be a prophet amongst you and a prophet amongst us. This is in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 510. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu was not going to waste time on such trash. Thus he gave the instructions for them all to be beheaded, with the exception of their leader, Muja'a, who was kept in chains as a prisoner, for he was a prominent chief and might come in useful as a hostage. So simply put, Muja'a was one of the hierarchy of Musaylimah when he was caught. They were followers of Musaylimah, obviously, and they were trying to negotiate kufr with Khalid bin Walid. So beheaded all of them, except Muja'a, because he was useful. Both armies were now ready for battle. On the following morning, the two armies deployed for the battle. Musaylimah organized his 40,000 men into a center, a left and a right wing. The left of Musaylimah was under the command of Ar-Rajal, the renegade. The right was under Muhakkim ibn Tufail, and the center directly under the liar. So basically he's got three, right wing, a left wing and a center. He's in the center. To his left is the shaitan who caused more harm than Musaylimah, the one who was a windfall for him, Ar-Rajal. And to the right was a person called Muhakkim ibn Tufail. Shurahbil, the son of Musaylimah, not to be confused with the Sahaba, he rode in front of the regiments and he said, O Banu Hanifa, fight today for your honor. If you are defeated, your women will be enslaved and ravished by the enemy. Fight to defend your women. This is in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 509. So the false prophet's son, whose name was the same as the Sahaba, Shurahbil, he's encouraging the kuffar. He goes, fight. But he's saying, fight to defend your women. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu organized his army also into a center and two wings. The left was commanded by Sayyidina Abu Hudayfa radiallahu anhu. The right by Sayyidina Zayd ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Whilst the center was directly under the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a straightforward grouping. So Abu Hudayfa to the left, Umar ibn al-Khattab's older brother Zayd ibn al-Khattab on the right, radiyallahu anhu. Simply put, Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu faced Musaylimah in the center. Abu Hudayfa radiyallahu anhu faced Ar-Rajal the renegade. And Zayd ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu faced Muhakkim ibn Tufail, i.e. the leaders of the wings. As Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu thus rode into the front of his men, he looked with pride and satisfaction at his champions. There was Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu anhu, who was in his mid-60s at the time. There was Zayd ibn al-Khattab, Sayyidina Umar's older brother radiyallahu anhu. There was Abu Hudayfa and his freed servant Salim radiyallahu anhu. There was Abdullah ibn Suhail radiyallahu anhu. There was Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu. There was Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. There was Abu Dujana radiyallahu anhu. There was Bara ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. There was Abad ibn Bishr radiyallahu anhu. There was Thabit ibn Qais ibn Ash-Shamas radiyallahu anhu. There was Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu. There was Wahsi radiyallahu anhu, and scores of others. So imagine Khalid, look, assessing his troops. He's seeing Sahab of the greatest rank. With the apostate superior in numbers and the Muslim superior in skill and courage, the two sides were thus evenly matched. But the decree of our Lord took place. Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiyallahu anhu was to uncharacteristically make a statement which was to impact greatly on this fateful encounter. Something left his blessed lips which caused problems. Shaykh al-Ahadith Muhammad Zakariya Kandahlawi rahmatullah alayh, he relates in his Sharia wa Tariqa, the inseparability of Sharia and Tariqa, page 198 of the English translation. So he states, in the war against the apostates, Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu, he said, people face tribulations due to their utterances. So Khalid said, people, they have problems, cause problems because of the something leaves their mouths. The first battle against the apostates was against the false prophet Tulayha Asadi rahmatullah alayhi. Many of Tulayha's men were killed, but most fled, including Tulayha himself. This boosted the confidence of the Muslims. After that, the Muslims came face to face against the false prophet Musaylimah and found him to be fierce and relentless. Sayyidina Khalid clarified, radiyallahu anhu, when we finished off with Tulayha and found him weak and cowardly, the following words left my lips. Who now is Banu Hanifa, the tribe of Musaylimah? They are indeed no better than the fools we have just dealt with. These words came out of my tongue, and hardships do strike through our own words. Hence, when we came against them, we found none like them. Indeed, they fought us continuously from sunrise to asr. Thus Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu admitted that his statement exasperated the situation. So this is again a lesson. So what did Khalid ibn Walid say? Radiallahu anhu, Tulayha was dealt with easily. He fled. So, and obviously, you know, he made a correct statement, but it wasn't befitting his station. He said, who is Banu Hanifa? They are no better than those that we've just dealt with. He goes, that caused the help of Allah Ta'ala to be taken from us. That statement. He goes, therefore, we now had to fight a very fierce battle. So what does that tell you about jihad? Right? You have to purify your inside as well. Subhanallah, it would thus be fair to say that the Almighty and Glorious Subhanahu wa Ta'ala only wanted what was purest from His blessed sword. Allahu Akbar. So He Himself testified to that. He goes, it's this statement. He was trying to work out, why is this battle not easily taken? Why are we defeating them easily? And he went, he worked, and he goes, it's my statement. I made a statement. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu, and just to add, this actually happened in the Battle of Hunayn. In the Battle of Hunayn, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of the companions who just embraced Islam, so they haven't got the full training, they saw the numbers of the Muslims. They goes, how can we be defeated due to our numbers? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was his reaction to that? He frowned. He knew that this statement is now going to cause problems. And what happened? Initially in Hunayn, the Muslims were losing. Then it was the miracle which Allah Ta'ala manifested at the hands of the Prophet which turned the tide. The same thing happened again in the Battle of Yamama. Think about that. But Khalid bin Walid now said, it was myself, I made that statement, radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu thus ordered a general attack. And the entire Muslim front surged forward with cries of Allahu Akbar. The fateful battle thus ensued, and both sides were fighting steadfastly, none willing to give an inch to their opponents. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu immediately started cutting down every man who dared to face him. The Muslim champions radiallahu ta'ala performed prodigies of valor, and Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu thus thought that the warriors would soon break through the army of unbelief. However, subhanallah, the army of unbelief stood firm as a rock. Many fell before the onslaught of the faithful, but there was no break in the unbeliever's front. Musaylima thereupon realized if he remained on the defensive much longer, the chances of a Muslim breakthrough would increase. Thus, Musaylima ordered a general counterattack all along the front to push hard. The apostates moved forward like a vast tidal wave, and the believers found to their dismay that they were now being pressed back. In addition, some lack of cohesion was now felt in the Muslim regiments due to the mixture of tribal contingents, which were not as yet accustomed to fighting side by side. So what happened? Musaylima gave the general command, and the companions were pushed back. What exasperated the matter was, the tribes were mixed. And tribal affiliation was still very strong. So this caused another weakness amongst the Muslims. The officers were thus unable to stop the retreat, and they were swept back with the tide of their men. The Muslim army even passed through its own camp and went beyond it before it stopped. So imagine, they were pushed that far back, they went through their own camp. The apostates then stopped in the Muslims' camp and began to plunder it. Again, as at Uhud, his opponent's occupation with looting gave Khalid bin Walid time to prepare and launch a repoussé. So simply put, the apostates managed to go through the Muslim camp and they started looting. That was a mistake on their part. So Khalid bin Walid, just like in Uhud, he was waiting for an opportunity again. And he saw it. And that little breathing space gave him time to steady the retreat. In the Muslim camp stood the tent of Khalid, radiallahu anhu. And in this tent was Layla, rahmatullah alayha, his wife. And also the captive chief, Muja'a ibn Marara, still in irons. So don't forget, the chief had been caught. Muja'a. He's there, and his wife is in the tent. A few apostates entered and immediately wanted to kill Layla. But they were restrained by Mujaa, who said, I am her protector. Go for the men. This is in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 511. So Mujaa saved Khalid bin Walid's wife's life. Meaning he had some nobility. He goes, go and kill the men, because the woman is under my care. Then as quickly as the looting started, it suddenly stopped. The apostates hastened back to the plain of Aqraba, where they once more saw the believing army once again formed in perfect order, with solid ranks advancing again. So look how strange. They're looting, thinking the matter's done. The Muslims have been defeated. While they're looting, Khalid bin Walid saw the entire front out, and they're advancing again towards the apostates. The believers' courage thus remained steadfast, but they also felt baffled. Their frustrated anger found an outlet in mutual tribal recrimination. They thereupon blamed each other for the debacle. He goes, it is the tribes. He goes, our tribe would be solid if we didn't mix. It is related that the city dwellers said, we know more about war than you. The Bedouins replied, no, we know more. A clamor arose. Let us therefore separate into our tribal groups. Then we shall see who vindicates his honor. This is in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 513. So what happened? Because they were blaming, obviously. Because we never retreat. Because of the reason we've retreated is because I don't know who are these people with me. They're not from my tribe. So then there was a healthy competition. Because let's now go back into our tribes. Then you'll see how people fight. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu could now see a rational reason for the weakness in his ranks. He saw that forming regiments out of mixed tribal contingents had been a mistake. For the clan feeling was still very strong amongst the Arabs. Thus, in face of 3-1 superiority of the enemy and the blind fanatical determination of Musaylimah's followers, the absence of tribal loyalty had resulted in weakening of cohesion in the Muslim regiments. Sayyidina Khalid thus immediately remedied the situation. So it's still the same. Center, two wings, but now they're in their tribes. Thus now every man would fight not only for Islam, but also for the honor of his tribe, which will produce a healthy rivalry amongst them as well. And there's nothing wrong with this. So in modern day, Pathans, Punjabis, Bangladeshis, fine. If you make you fight, then do it like this. Right? And there's nothing wrong in saying, you will see how the Pakistanis fight now. You understand? This is a healthy rivalry amongst the Muslims. The Quran says, race to a paradise as wide as the heavens and the earth. When you race, it's a competition. But it doesn't mean you're better than them. It's just in terms of encouraging each other. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu also picked a handful of warriors and formed them into a personal bodyguard. His intention was now to set an example for his men by throwing himself into the thick of fighting. He instructed the guards, stay behind me. Look how strange, the guards supposed to be in front. So he goes to his guards, just stay behind me, meaning I don't want anybody to attack me from the rear. The Muslims thus returned with a fresh zeal for battle. It is related that the battle cry now was changed. And it was in Al-Bidayah, volume 6, page 397. Ya Muhammad, ah. O Muhammad, O for Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ah. So this was the battle cry. So why was the battle cry changed? Because obviously this is for the true Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi, his name had to be mentioned. It is important to note that this blessed cry is just like the utterance, Ya Islama, O for Islam. Thus the Ya here is for exclamation, not for supplication. The Ya here is for exclamation, not for supplication. Just as our beloved messenger statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Tuba lil Sham, O joy for Asham. This is in Tirmidhi, Imam Ahmad's Musnad Hakim, and Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih, in Sahih Al-Jami number 3920. So exclamation mark is a straight line with a dot. So that's what how you translate it. They're saying, Ya O for Muhammad with an exclamation mark, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They weren't supplicating to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because you could translate it like that. You understand? O for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the scholars point out the Ya here is for exclamation, not for supplication. And there's many other hadith, and the Prophet, the example the Prophet himself gave is Ya Tuba lil Sham. So is he making a dua? That Sham make a dua? No, he's just saying, oh joy for Sham. Exclamation mark. During this second, and of course, that shows it's not shirk. If it is, then Sahaba committing shirk in it, mashallah. During the second phase, the commander of the original Muslim right, Zayd ibn al-Khattab, came face to face with Ar-Rajal, the renegade. So like I mentioned, Ar-Rajal was the one who broke, who was supposed to bring Musaylimah's tribe back to Islam. When he went there, he said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has called Musaylimah a partner. So he caused untold damage or havoc. Now during the second phase, Umar's older brother came face to face with him, radiyallahu. In Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 511, as noble as ever, and wishing to save the shaitan from the eternal fire, Zayd ibn al-Khattab called out, radiyallahu, O Rajal, you left the true faith, return to it. That would be more noble and virtuous. I.e. Allah Ta'ala is forgiving and merciful. In other words, I don't want to kill you. He goes, come back. Maybe it was tribal fanaticism that took over. Give him an excuse. Come back. The renegade refused. And a fierce duel thus took place. In which ultimately, Sayyidina Zayd ibn al-Khattab gave him a fatal strike. Thus another fulfillment of an endless prophecy of our beloved messenger. The Prophet said, I've seen one of my companions in this gathering, his tooth is as big as Mount Uhud in hell. And he was this man, Rajal. So the Prophet's words came true again, said Allah. With the apostate superior in numbers and the Muslim superior in skill and courage, the sides were equally matched. Broken swords and spears thus eventually littered the valley, as mangled and torn bodies fell in heaps on the blood-sodden earth. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu realized that with their fanatical faith in their false prophet, the apostates would never give in. It was thus evident that only the death of Musaylimah could break their spirits. So Khalid realized Musaylimah has to be targeted. He has to be killed. And if he's killed, that will break the spirits of the apostates. But there was a problem. Musaylimah the shaitan and coward that he was not dueling in the front lines like Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Thus he would have to be drawn out like a rat. As the first violent spasm of combat ended, the warriors stopped to regain their breath. There was a lull. So in battles, there's a strange phenomenon that takes place. Sometimes the battle stops just out of exhaustion. Right? So imagine, you know, the battle just stopped. There was a lull. This was the moment Khalid was waiting for, radiallahu anhu. Khalid bin Walid stepped forward towards the enemy center and he roared a challenge. I am the son of Al-Walid. Will anyone face me? Several dumb champions came out of the apostate ranks to accept the challenge, and they were quickly dispatched to help. Indeed, after each quick duel, Sayyidina Khalid would recite the following poetry. In Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 513. I am the son of many chiefs. My sword is sharp and terrible. It is the mightiest of things when the pot of war boils fiercely. Obviously, no rhyme in the English, but that's where his war cry was. However, these jewels were just a ploy on the part of Khalid radiallahu anhu. Slowly and steadily, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was advancing towards Musaylimah, killing champion after champion of his. By now, subhanallah, he was close enough to Musaylimah to talk to him without shouting. The liar was surrounded by his personal bodyguards. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu thereupon proposed talks. And Musaylimah goes, yes. He stepped forward cautiously and halted just outside dueling distance. And Khalid asked, radiallahu anhu, if we now agree to terms, what terms will you accept? This is in Tabari in his Tariq, volume 2, page 513. Sayyidina Khalid then asked another question, upon which he moved like a thunderbolt towards him. But Musaylimah was faster. In a flash, he had turned on his heels and fled. I back into the ranks. Subhanallah, this is what Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid wanted, radiyallahu anhu. For in that fateful moment of flight, something most meaningful happened to the spirit of the two armies. The flight of their so-called prophet from Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu was a disgraceful sight in the eyes of the apostates, and the Muslims conversely rejoiced. So this was his plan. He's either get him and kill him, or he'll flee. Either way, mission accomplished. If they believe he's a prophet, why has he fled? On his successful return, Khalid stopped between the two armies and thereupon now cried out in Al-Bidayah 5:30, I am the son of Al-Walid. I am the son of Amir and Zayd. He then raised the battle cry, Ya Muhammad Ah! Ya Muhammad Ah! Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To exploit the psychological opportunity which now presented itself, Sayyidina Khalid immediately gave the order to attack. Now with a fresh zeal in their attack, the apostates finally buckled. The forces of Shaitan now began to fall back as the believers struck with swords, spears, arrows and daggers. The retreat of the apostates thus gradually gathered speed. Then, by the grace of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it happened. The apostates' front broke into pieces. Musaylimah al-Qadhab could do nothing. His top commander, Ar-Rajal, was dead. It was now the commander of his right wing, Muhakkim, who came to the rescue of the apostates. And he called out, O Banu Hanifa, the garden, enter the garden and I shall protect your rear. Get into the fortress, the orchard, the wall fortress. He goes, whilst you're entering, I will protect you. However, the bulk of the army had now broken and fled. Only a quarter, around 10,000 of Musaylimah's army, now remained in fighting shape. And this part thus hastened to the wall fortress garden, whilst Muhakkim covered its retreat with a small rear guard. This rear guard was also soon torn to pieces by the believers, and Muhakkim fell to the arrow of the Khalif's son, Abdul Rahman ibn Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. 7,000 of the apostates also thus managed to make it into the orchard, including Musaylimah al-Qadhab himself. The gate was then hurriedly closed, and the apostates breathed a huge sigh of relief. So basically, out of 40,000, only 7,000 managed to get into the orchard, and it was due to Muhakkim. He sacrificed his life to let the false prophet get into the orchard. And now, of course, the famous siege was going to begin around this walled fortress. But these were the details, some of the details with regards to what happened during the Battle of Yamama. However, there was different phases in the encounter. And inshallah, I will mention exactly how critical the battle was when mentioning certain individuals during the battle. If you actually look at certain companions, how they gave their lives during this battle, it shows that there was critical moments taking place. But I'm just giving you a general skeleton of what's actually taken place thus far. So what I mentioned today was basically now the Battle of Yamama and some of the key incidents which took place during this fateful encounter. But note, I think the key point was Khalid bin Walid himself said, it was my utterance. It was my utterance which caused this problem. And this shows that the help of Allah Ta'ala goes very quickly from the Sahab. Why? Because they had the training of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But for lesser mortals like this, if you can stick to just 1/10, Allah Ta'ala's help will still be with us. As mentioned in the famous hadith in Tirmidhi and Mishkat. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وسلام عليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.